Our second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. I'll read verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to the hands of sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
In the forests of the western United States, wildfires are a destructive reality. Just earlier this year, we were reminded of the destruction and the devastation that fires can have on a community and a region. But in the midst of the imminent destruction that exists there, there is a tree that grows in this part of the world that holds a remarkable mystery. The lodgepole pine tree is an ordinary looking tree. Nothing extravagant or exceptional about it. But the cone of that tree, the cone that holds all the seeds that are needed for future growth, are cased in a resin. And that resin is not affected by water or wind or rain or snow. The only thing that can open the fire, to open the seed to release the cone to release the seeds, is fire. The lodgepole pine is noted for being the first species to come back after a wildfire because it drops the seeds in the rich, nutrient-dense ash that follows a fire. The lodgepole pine doesn't fear the fire. It's made for it. It carries the hope of life inside it, waiting to be released not in spite of the flames, but through the flames. The very thing that tried to destroy the tree is the very thing that brings the promise of new life. Today on Easter, friends, we celebrate a similar reality. Death no longer gets the last word. Yet Easter is not pretending that death didn't happen. It's about proclaiming that even in death, especially in death, life is still possible. The fire came, but the fire did not win. Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, on this beautiful Easter morning, remind us of that truth, that hope and love get the last word. Let us not miss that. Let us take that seed and plant it and let it grow in our hearts and bloom far and wide. God, the truth of resurrected life, the truth of hope, the truth that we find in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, friends, today we celebrate Easter, where we proclaim Christ is risen indeed, alleluia. We celebrate Easter every year, you might have noticed. We celebrate Easter every year to remind ourselves that no matter where we are, no matter how long it's been, no matter how bad it's gotten, no matter how hopeless it seems, that new life is always possible. We heard in our gospel reading just now from the book of Luke that early in the morning, the women went to the tomb, but the grave was empty. Now, we have the benefit of knowing the rest of the story, but this moment finds the disciples in a whirlwind of emotions. Just stop and think about it for a minute. Imagine how the women at the tomb and the other disciples felt. They came with spices in hand, spices traditionally used to prepare a body for a proper and a dignified burial. These women were coming to put a sad and definitive exclamation point on the events of brutality and gut-wrenching despair that had taken place over the last 3 days or so. They were still reeling with the grief of the death of a friend, scorched with the burning pain of loss, fearing for their own lives, and not knowing what is next. As we heard last week, God is not just present on the bookends of Holy Week, that is Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, where there's lots of celebration and beautiful flowers and bright colors and wonderful and joyful singing. But God is also present on the events that take place throughout the week, on Thursday night and Friday and Saturday in the Passion narrative. God is present in the betrayal and the abandonment. God is present in the suffering and the death. God is present in the silence that follows loss, where everything feels numb. And the glorious wonder of this day is that we know that those things are not the end of the story, that the grave doesn't get the last word. But friends, we cannot forget that Christ was indeed in the grave. Jesus didn't jump past the pain and the suffering. Jesus didn't deny the grave. He defied it. Pastor Megan reminded us last week that Jesus takes on this sort of I'll go first approach when Jesus shows us how to live. God doesn't leave us by ourselves in our suffering or our uncertainty. God is present in all of our human emotions, in every aspect of our human condition, even in the heartache and the hopelessness of the grave. God dares to go there, and God goes first, even to the places that feel irredeemable, even to the places that feel permanent, lost, entombed. And when God goes there, God shows us that death is not the final word. Even as we've faced our own mortality this Lent and we've reckoned with the fragility of our physical bodies, God shows us the hope and the promise of eternal life. We, like the heavenly beings in dazzling clothing in Luke's gospel, account in the tomb that he is risen. And Christ rising from the throes of death means that there is always hope on the other side. That there is nothing, not in life and not even in death, friends, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God found fully in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ is risen. God shows us on this Easter Sunday morning that darkness cannot and darkness will not overcome the light. No grave can stop the message of love and new life that God shows us. And I wonder, friends, I wonder, as those who are trying to follow God, if God leaves the grave behind, how might we be invited to do the same? How might we hold this tension of suffering and death with this promise of new life that Jesus gives us? All of this Lenten season, we've examined the things that hold us back from God, the things that hold us back from being the fullest versions of ourselves, those things that keep us trapped in our own graves, graves sometimes of our own making and sometimes graves of our circumstance. Friends, what are the graves that God is asking you to leave behind this morning? The graves of addiction or nostalgia, of heartache or despair, the graves of doubt or anger or fear or shame. Where can we boldly walk away from the things that have kept us buried, hidden away from God and full connection with ourselves and others? Where might God be calling new life out of the graves in your life? After a fire, the seeds of the lodgepole pine, similar to the seeds of hope, take some time to grow. We don't go from seed to mighty tree in one instant. The reality of the empty tomb and the truth about the resurrection story is that it's a story that is revealed over time. It doesn't make sense right away, just as it didn't make sense right away to Mary and the other disciples. The implications of Jesus being alive are those that ripple and trickle through the disciples in the coming days in the biblical account. And throughout those days, they are filled with doubt and fear and uncertainty about what to do next in light of this new life received. Like the disciples, we too may have our suspicions about a grave conquering God. For this notion of life in a death-dealing world for us may feel impossible, even crazy. Living into life that was once believed to be dead and buried takes time and effort and practice. We hear in the gospel story that the resurrection was revealed at first light, just as the day was dawning when the light was faint. And just like watching a sunrise, moving from darkness into light, it takes time for our eyes to adjust. So if you're looking to start this journey towards hope and new life, or if you've been on this journey and you feel like you just aren't there yet, friends, hear me say, that is okay. Maybe you feel like your seed of hope is still in the ground. When you look around, all you can see is the charred forest floor, and you are skeptical that any life could ever grow here ever again. Some of us find ourselves in a season of grief where all we see is ash. If this is you, may you hold firm to the hope that the seeds of new life are already in the ground, even when we can't see them. That even in the midst of the ashes, new life is working under the surface. Or maybe you feel like a small sapling, still taking root on this hope journey, still trying to figure it out, but still feeling so fragile and so exposed. You've seen some growth, but you don't feel like you're strong enough to weather the next storm. If this is you, then perhaps you can take a note of hope from the pine trees. The lodgepole pines often grow in clumps or clusters as the seeds are dropped in the same place after a fire. These clumps provide protection for the trees that grow together. The growing saplings are surrounded by other trees that help them weather the storm as a group. Or maybe you're here today and you feel like an old growth tree, an established tree. Having been at this work for some time, you've got deep roots and wide branches, and you feel like you are firmly planted in the ground. If this is you, may you take hope in the fact that even when the next scorching life of this life comes, even in that loss, there is life on the other side, through the fire and the flames. God is with us at every stage of this journey, at every stage of growth, at every stage of seed development for hope. And wherever you are on this journey, friends, I hope you know that you have a story to tell. In Acts, Peter tells, boldly proclaims that God shows no partiality, that God can and God does use every person to tell the story of God. Even if you read the scriptures briefly, you will know that the entire biblical account is God using the unexpected, the unqualified, and the unpredictable folks to do the work that God has before them. And God is still doing that today. Peter gives us this powerful word when he says, "We are witnesses." We are witnesses. We are the witnesses to the good work that God is doing in our lives. We are the witnesses to the ways that God is letting us leave those graves behind. You don't have to know about atonement theory or know the doctrine of this or that or whatever to tell the good news of Jesus Christ in your life. Because notice what the women did on that first Easter morning. They didn't know how the story was going to end. They didn't have it all figured out. They didn't know all the answers, and they were still confused and scared and uncertain about what was to come. But what did they do when they saw that the grave was empty? They told somebody. And then they told somebody. And then they told somebody. And so on and so on and so on. And here we find ourselves several thousand years later still telling somebody about this good news. And it is still good news, telling how God is conquering graves and showing us how to fully live. You don't need all the Bible knowledge or the fancy words or language to testify about how God is rolling back the stones covering the graves of your life. All you need is your story. The story about how God delivered you from those things that were holding you back. All you need to do is tell the story of how you saw what was possible on the other side of the fire. To tell the story of how God's grace and love has and is and will move in your life. And friends, if that's true for you, then I do hope that you will tell somebody. Because no matter where we are on the journey, or no matter how many times we've heard it, we all need to be reminded that life is possible, even in the most unlikely circumstances. I hope you tell somebody, because it's good news. And it's good news that was never meant to be kept in the darkness of that early morning, and it was never meant to be kept to ourselves. This is good news to be told, to be shared. We are the witnesses, friends. Death lost. The fire came, but the fire did not win. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.